Today we're going to have a prayer chapel for racial unity. We have a committee that's working on this, and I want to make sure that you're aware of that committee. It is a committee that is at this point in time being called the Kingdom Diversity Committee. We may adjust that name slightly. They're working on that. The members of that committee are Dr. Kevin Jones, Derek Green, Mindy May, Patrick Oliver, Carolyn Burnett, Mark Owens, Sarah Shaw, Rahul Jacob, and Sarah Gump. They've been working behind the scenes, and they have helped put this service together. And you're going to hear from some of them today. They'll introduce themselves as they come up, but as they pray and as they read scripture or say a few remarks or whatever they would like to do, you're going to hear from Patrick Oliver, from Sarah Gump, from Carolyn Barnett, and from Derek Green. Let me say that the purpose of this committee is to help us live out our theology as it relates to diversity on campus. We start with a foundation that God created all. We know that Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." God has created every one of us in his image. There is no place for discrimination. There is no place for racism at Cedarville University. We will not tolerate it. We will not endure it. We live out a theology which says that God created us all. This is a national problem. This problem begins with sin. It begins with sinfulness in our own hearts. It begins with the division that the devil would like to drive through each of us and in all of us, and it manifests itself in many different ways. But ultimately, the answer to sin is the gospel. And so instead of sitting back and letting others share solutions, the Bible has the solutions to discrimination and to injustice and to divisions. And the answer the Bible gives us is the unity that is found in the cross of Jesus Christ, the grace of the gospel, the fact that we are all adopted as sons and daughters of the King and that we are in the family of God. So as we come here today, I want us to come here with humility, because we can't understand everything that everyone else has gone through. I want us to come with an open ear, willing to listen. I want to listen. I want to learn, and I want to grow, and I want to see how I can love my neighbors better, how I can consider others more significant than myself. I want to come and be willing to acknowledge in myself any past issues that I should repent of, anything that maybe in my upbringing or in my thought processes are not of God and not of the Bible. We should always be asking the Spirit to examine my heart and reveal in me, Lord, anything that is not of thy ways. Search me and know me and try me, O Lord. May the meditations of the hearts and thoughts of my mind be pleasing in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. We must lament with one another the horrible things that some have suffered. We must recognize that all men and women are created equally in the image of God, that all come from Adam and Eve, that all have a sin nature, that all need the grace of the gospel, and with common needs, we come together to strive for the kingdom of God. We must embrace that as followers of Christ on this campus, we are brothers and sisters adopted into one family, destined to be citizens of one eternal kingdom, to live forever with King Jesus, to be servants of that same King, and to strive together for the unity in this present world, which is what we do when we pray, "Lord, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." So let's listen, let's be humble, let's learn, and let's strive together for racial unity on our campus and in our country. It's in our core values. Love for God, love for others. Let's pursue it with humility, with an open ear, with grace for when we make mistakes and don't respond in ways that we should. And I want to say to you that this will not be an easy task. And with a constantly changing student body, It'll be a discussion that we always need to have. So today is not moving past something. Today is a start this year of a discussion that needs to be held. So how do you start? You start by praying. You start by letting your request be made known to God with thanksgiving, so that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So after we pray, let's then put footsteps of faith to the prayers that we have offered. Let's sit down with others and listen. Tell me your story. How can I learn from someone else? Let's love one another. Let's make sure that on this campus, everyone feels welcome. And let's make sure that on this campus, jokes, comments, things that are not of God, any discrimination or racism of any type is not welcomed at all, because this is a place where the love of Jesus is seen and is felt, and where the gospel reigns supreme, and where the children of the King feel welcomed and embraced and at home. So today, join me as we sit, as we listen, as we pray, and as we learn how we can better be a campus of racial unity. Dr. Oliver, would you come and open us up?
Good morning, Cedarville family. My name is Patrick Oliver, Associate Professor of Criminal Justice and also Director of the Criminal Justice Program here at Cedarville. We are in a time of great social and cultural unrest in the United States of America. With government and police at the center of this firestorm, as a longtime police professional and second-generation law enforcement officer, I have a greater burden for the healing of our land. These four passages of scripture I will read today address the biblical role of government and its people. As citizens of a free society in this constitutional republic, we must honor God, respect government, and love people. The first of these four scriptures I'll read is Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. And in all four passages, I'm reading from the New International Version. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers know no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for authorities are God's servants, who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. The next passage is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors, who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as a free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slave. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. My third passage is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceable and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and all to come to a knowledge of the truth. My fourth and final passage is Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle to everyone. Let's now pray in response to these scripture readings. Father God, creator and sustainer of the universe, of all that is seen and unseen, we need you now more than ever in the United States of America. This is a time of great cultural conflict and the rejection of God's rule over mankind. We as a country seem to be determined to prove that we can rule the world in an orderly, meaningful way without you. Because we reject your rule, human pride drives us to do the opposite of what you have ordained. Please help us, those of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to fulfill the mandate of the Great Commission during our time. Help us to be bold in sharing the gospel and to teach others everything you have commanded in your word. You have ordained government as your institution of justice to both reward good and punish evil. Lord, you demand justice in society with the protection of the innocent and the punishment of the criminal. You also require that all those who serve in government to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. Please help every one of us to discern when and how to demonstrate the proper respect for government, human authorities, our families, and individuals, while always placing you first and giving you the highest priority. May you help us be a part of the healing of our communities that have become so fractured, based in part on cultural conflict. Please direct us to do whatever it is you want us to do, when you want us to do it, and how you want to do it, us to do it, for community healing and restoration for your glory. Father God, we praise you for all you do and for all you provide in the lives of each of us. May we seek to glorify you in all we think, say, and do. Please continue to guide and protect your campus community, and we ask this in the precious name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good morning, Cedarville. My name is Sarah Gump. I am the digital and social media for the university. Today I'm going to be reading from Colossians 3. It's going to speak about, since we are now in Christ, all the things that we should put away and all the things that we should put on. So let's read Colossians 3, 1 through 16. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouths. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ in all, and all in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate, kind hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against the other, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so must also you forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing you one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and praises and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the nature of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross to be the propitiation for our sins. We thank you so much for taking our place. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be together residentially and virtually online. Thank you so much for the ability to come to you and pray and ask for forgiveness and ask for you to expose our sin to us. We pray because of your son that we would be agents of reconciliation in the world. We would be agents of reconciliation one-on-one, in the classroom, at this university, in this state, and in our nation, Lord. We pray for the courage to speak up and speak out when we see things that are against the nature of you. We also pray that every deed and action and word would be rooted in love and rooted in biblical justice. We pray, Lord, that you empower us to put away things that divide us from one another, that divide us from unity, but most importantly, Lord, things that divide us from you, things that affect our relationship, Lord. We pray that you would help empower us to put away things that cause division. And above all, we pray that Christ is exalted. We pray Christ is exalted in this university. We pray that Christ is exalted individually. And we pray that Christ is exalted in our nation. As we become more and more aware of our sin and how much your son Jesus has done on the cross for us, we pray we are empowered to forgive others because we understand the magnitude of how much we've been forgiven. It is in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Carolyn Barnett. I serve in the School of Nursing since 1997, and I am also a graduate of Cedarville. I am going to be reading a familiar passage on love found in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 7. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we come to you, praising you and thanking you for what we have in Christ. We thank you, Father, for your plan from the very beginning, before the foundation of the world. You knew what this world would be like, and you knew that we would need a Savior. And Father, as we look at these tumultuous times, we still need a Savior. Father, help us as believers to be willing to point others to Christ. You have said in your word that people will know that we are your disciples by the love we have for one another. I pray, Lord, that in each of our hearts, your Spirit would work mightily to help us, Lord, to recognize that we need to love one another deeply so that a world that is dying to know the truth can see you. Work in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to bring glory and honor to you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Derek Green. I am the chair of the Department of Communication here at Cedarville University. I am also a Cedarville University graduate. In fact, one of the few classes that actually graduated in this room, in this chapel. I have a heart and a passion to see the community at Cedarville University demonstrate biblical unity. Dr. White, at the beginning, mentioned the ways in which we live out our faith. And I believe Ephesians chapter 4 gives us good insight onto where our thought processes should be and how those thought processes should lead to concrete action. So I will be reading from Ephesians chapter 4, first verses 1 through 7, and then I will jump down to verses 29 through 32. I'm reading from the ESV version. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to be the hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Moving to verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you now asking that you will allow your Spirit to work in our hearts. Allow us to put away our bitterness, our wrath, and our anger. Keep us from slandering. Keep us from malicious acts. Help us to focus on the unity of your kingdom. Help us to be a testimony to the power of your Spirit to bring us together. Help us to be an example for the rest of the world for how people should live in a community of unity. Help us to remember that of our own human ability, this is impossible, but through the power of your Spirit, we can live out racial unity as we live out the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Help us to not be influenced by the world, but allow us to impact the world. Heal our hearts, Lord. We give your name all the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2 tells us many things. It talks about the different ethnicities of the Jews and the Gentiles. It talks about the Gentiles, of which I would be a part, as being without Christ, without citizenship, without the covenants of hope, the covenants of promise, without hope in this world, and without God. And then it says, but God. After the but God, it talks about the fact that peace is mentioned four different times, that us being one is mentioned four different times, that Christ has reconciled us vertically and horizontally, that he has given us a personal peace, that he has made us one, that he has destroyed the wall of hostility, and he has reconciled us to God. Let me read this passage for you as we close out our service today. It says, therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's us. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and that he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace. Peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We must find our unity and our peace in Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, as we come to you, we acknowledge that we have not always had a good record on this. God, we acknowledge that our country has not always been right on these issues. And Lord, we acknowledge that there are those who have preached your word, who have used scriptures in improper ways to defend things that are wrong. God, we are fallen. God, our logic is not always where it needs to be. Lord, the way we understand things is not always proper and in accordance with your will. And so, Lord, we pray that you would grant us wisdom from above, that your Spirit would help us to understand your word, that you would help us to live out the unity that you desire, the Lord, you would help us to realize the hostility that you have broken down. And so, Lord, we confess before you corporately that our nation has not been good at this. God, perhaps even in our own lives, as we look back, we recognize times where we have not been as welcoming, as quick to listen, as humble as we should be, that, Lord, perhaps we have said things we shouldn't. Perhaps even in our heart, things that were not vocalized have been thought in our minds. And, Lord, there may be things that we need to confess before you. So, Lord, today, would you allow each one of us individually to recognize and examine our own hearts and to repent of anything in our lives, Lord, that might not show the love of the gospel, that might not show what you want us to love you and love others well? God, would you help us as we think about difficult issues to extend grace to one another, as we talk about these things, to be willing to listen to the experiences of others, to be willing to listen without judgment to hear what's happening in our country, to be willing to extend love to one another. Lord, I don't have the answers. Lord, none of us knows exactly what we should do to fix all of these problems we see in our country and we see all across our nation. And Lord, we want you to grant us wisdom from above, to give us the grace to live it out and to live out your gospel on this campus in such a way that we would be different, Lord, that people would look and they would know us by our love, that they would see the worthy walk, that they would see that we're not using corrupt talk or filthy language, Lord, that we are loving one another well with our actions and with our words and with our thoughts. Lord, would you work on our lives and convict us of our sinfulness and grow us in godliness so that we truly would represent you well. God, would you do this on our campus, not for our glory, Lord, but for yours? Would you do this because it is right and it is good and it is pleasing in your sight? Would you help us to continue to take steps day by day to live out the gospel well, to live out our theology? God, we don't know the next best steps. So in humility before one another and before you, we simply want to commit to try. We simply want to commit, Lord, to work out our own salvation, knowing that it is you who works in us and that you are working for your good, for our good, for your glory, Lord. So we ask that in all of our lives you would use us as servants of the Most High King to represent you well, to love one another well, that you may be glorified as we stand for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, through the precious name of Jesus, our Savior, to the glory of God the Father, we pray. Amen. And you are dismissed.